Welcome to Pursuit Church Podcast, where we give those far from God the opportunity to pursue Christ. We are so glad you are here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe God has a word for you through today's message.
Before you're seated today, I'm going to read from the book of Joshua, chapter 4, first 7 verses. Got quite a lot of scripture today. Joshua chapter 4, 1 through 7, and then we'll go to verse 20 through 24, starting with Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask your fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? That ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Then down to verse 20 through 24. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, and when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. This morning, I want to speak on the subject, God of miracles. You may be seated, church. God of miracles. Now, all throughout the Bible, God uses stones to illustrate his word and to accomplish his will. It would be on stone tablets that Moses received God's law that led Israel into righteousness. It was a stone that David used with his slingshot to defeat that giant Philistine, Goliath. It was a stone that God caused to cry out and worship him and praise him when nobody else would. It was a group of stones that Jacob would use to sleep on, and he would dream about heaven as God spoke to him. It was a stone that Moses would strike and cause water to gush from that stone so that all of Israel could take a drink. And so God would often use stones. Those are just a few examples from our Bible. Now today in Washington, D.C., there is a large monument called the Lincoln Memorial. It is, of course, a monument which represents the 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. It's a major tourist attraction with millions of people visiting it each year. Abraham Lincoln did some great things for our nation. He signed the Emancipation Proclamation, which would lead to abolishing slavery in America. He established the United States Department of Agriculture. He signed the first of the homestead acts that would allow the poor to obtain land and many, many more things. And so the Lincoln Memorial there in Washington, D.C., it's made out of a huge piece of stone representing the great achievements of Abraham Lincoln. Also located in Washington, D.C. is the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial. It's titled, Out of the Mountain of Despair, a Stone of Hope. Martin Luther King Jr. was a pastor, an activist, and a prominent leader. He fought for freedom and equality and justice. Most of us know him by his I Have a Dream speech. He wanted change and he fought for change. He wanted a better America, and many people today believe that America would not be what it is today if it was not for Martin Luther King Jr. He changed America, and so he is represented upon a large stone there in Washington, D.C., called a Stone of Hope. And then finally, in South Dakota, there is Mount Rushmore. It's a national memorial visited by millions of people each year. It's a sculpted monument to four men's faces in the granite face of the mountain. I've never been there, but I would love to travel up there and see it. The four men on the face of the mountain are U.S. presidents George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, and again, Abraham Lincoln. These 60-foot sculptures took nearly 15 years to be completed. It's this great and huge monument, and these men were chosen to be carved into the Black Hills of South Dakota because they represented some of the most important things in the history of the United States. We know Washington, he led America to gain independence from Great Britain. Thomas Jefferson was the author of the Declaration of Independence. Theodore Roosevelt, he would provide some of the greatest leadership as America would face rapid growth in the 20th century. And again, Abraham Lincoln, which we just spoke about. So all of these monuments in the United States are made out of stone, and they're some of the most treasured and popular monuments, not just in our country, but really in the entire world, representing monumental events. Now, I want to talk about one more memorial. I want to speak about a different monument. On the eastern border of Jericho, there is this place called Gilgal. And our text says in verse 20, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what meaneth these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, this is where Israel came over the Jordan on dry land. And so today we know what the Lincoln Memorial represents, and we know what the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial represents, and we know what the faces on Mount Rushmore represent. But there on the eastern border of Jericho and Gilgal lays a monument even today of 12 stones. And scripture says, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, and when your children shall ask in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? What do these stones mean? What does this monument on the eastern border of Jericho represent? Because, see, these 12 stones in Gilgal, if we were to go and travel and see them, they aren't anything nice. They're not just some structured, perfect piece like those other monuments. They aren't sculpted as somebody's face. They don't look beautiful or stunning. They're just laying there in the dirt. But they're placed exactly where God wanted them to be. Because these 12 stones represent something important. They serve a purpose, and the purpose of the stones is given to us in Scripture again, saying, "And when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what meaneth these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, this is where Israel came over the Jordan on dry ground." In other words, this monument in Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho, kind of in the middle of nowhere, represents what only God can do. These 12 stones out there represent a real miracle. And God had told them to gather 12 stones, and these stones were to remain there for future generations as their own monument, so that every child that was to come by and look at those and wonder, well, what do those stones mean? It would be a precious opportunity to share with them the mighty and the miraculous hand of God. And so it was God's plan that they had this memorial place that represented what only He was able to do. In other words, there are some stones in Gilgal that represents the miraculous. There is a monument there on the eastern border of Jericho that represents something that no man, no leader, no president, no nation or country could ever do. These stones represent the miraculous. These stones represent an impossibility. These stones represent what only our God could do. And verse 7 says, "And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." The Lord says, forever this memorial must stand. Forever these stones will represent God's mighty hand. Forever they will know me as the mighty God. Forever they will tell and share of the stories of my provision. For years they will talk about my mighty acts. And for generations they will share with others about how they got to this river and there was no way to get across, but God made a way. And there was no hope here, but God showed up and there was hope. Forever they will speak of the miracles of God. Because the Israelites, they didn't know what they were going to do. They had camped out by the Jordan River for 3 nights, and the only way that they were going to pass this river would be by an act of God. God had led all of Israel to the Jordan River, and yet now there seemed to be an impossibility. There was going to be no way to get past the river. They knew they were in the will of God. They wanted the will of God. They knew they were where God wanted them to be, but they didn't know how it was going to happen. Have you ever asked yourself this question? How can I be where God wants me to be, but also be facing an impossibility? How could it be that I am where God wants me and my family, or me and my children, or me and my church to be, but somehow also be facing an impossibility? Because God was setting them up for a miracle. Have you ever considered that maybe God has been setting your whole life up for a miracle? Have you ever considered that maybe God is about to show you what no other leader or no other president or no other doctor or no other person or no other parent or no other teacher could do, but only what He can do? Have you not considered that maybe God is about to do something so major and so miraculous in your life that it's going to cause you to build a monument there so that you always remember that this is where God showed up in my life. This is where God answered my prayer. Have you ever considered, church, that maybe all of your problems and all of your pain and all of your suffering and all of the impossibilities in your life are a very act of God Himself to stretch your faith, to bring out the best in you, or to get rid of all of you and your flesh and all of your ideas that stand in His way, to bring you to that complete belief that God and God alone is enough. That God and God alone is enough. That's not a popular message today. With all of our medicines and all of our doctors and all of our knowledge and all of our wisdom, that's not even that popular in the church, that God and God alone is enough. That God is working something great and mighty in my life. And so Joshua says unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord is going to show up and He is going to work wonders among us. Listen, church, there is something about sanctifying ourselves that opens the door for the miraculous. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Sanctify yourselves, the prophet said, for God is going to show up and God is going to perform a miracle. I'm reminded by what the Lord Himself said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It's a promise, but it starts with an if. There's a great possibility that no one's going to listen to me, so I'm going to start it off with an if. But it is a promise, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's sanctifying yourself. Then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sin, and then will I heal their land. Do I want my prayers answered? Do I want forgiveness? And do I want healing in my body and healing in my home? God here has given me a promise. And there's something about holiness. And so there's something about turning from our evil ways. And there's something about maybe not just asking God, God, heal me, fix this family, but maybe just bringing holiness into my family and holiness into my life and seeking the face of God just to seek Him and His holiness that brings healing in my family and gets the hand of God to move in my church and gets the hand of God to move upon my life. And sure enough, the children of Israel, they came to the Jordan after camping there 3 days. And the scripture says the waters coming down from above stood still and rose up in a heap. And all of Israel passed over on dry ground. God had performed a true miracle. And after they had passed the Jordan, Joshua pitched the stones in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, and when your children come and ask, saying, what meaneth these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, this is where Israel came over the Jordan on dry land. And so the purpose of the stones was that they would remember. Key word is remember. Remember that God is a miracle working God, that is the kind of God that's leading them, that is the kind of God that they serve, that they would never be forgotten, that they would always be taken care of. That's the kind of God we serve. You see, I may already know that God performs miracles, and I may read all throughout my Bible and see how God performed miracles in all of these people's lives. I may already believe it. And it's easy to believe it for somebody else, but when it's happening to you, it's harder. And sometimes I need to be reminded. Sometimes when everything is chaotic and nothing makes sense, and it's me that needs help. It's not somebody I'm ministering to. And it's me that's facing the impossibility. And it's me that has a mess at home. And it's me that's struggling. And things are getting worse. And there's no relief on the way. And there appears to be no answer because nobody even knows that I'm struggling. No one even knows I have a problem. Sometimes I need to be reminded that God is still faithful. And I need to be reminded that the God that I preach about and the God that I sing about and the God that I say that I serve and that I love, He really is a good God. And He really does perform miracles. And He really does care about me. And He really is in control. And so the Lord said, take a stone, and this shall be a memorial unto you. And when they ask you what meaneth these stones, tell them that this is where God performed a miracle. This is where God heard our prayer. This represents that God is still good and God is still faithful. And the scripture says, and your children need to know, and your children's children need to know, and your families need to know. And it goes as far as to say, the whole world needs to know that the hand of God is still mighty. And so I say all of that today to say to the church that the same God that dried up the Jordan River for His people back then is still the same God who can perform a miracle in your life today. And the same God who said to go ahead and grab a stone. Well, it doesn't make any sense. Why would I grab a stone? Well, He just said to grab a stone. If you just be obedient, God's got something planned. And the same God who said to go ahead and grab a stone and let that just be a monument of my miraculous power for generations to come, we still serve that same God today. The same God who was is the same God who is. God is the same. God is forever the same. And so today, maybe you're dealing with an impossibility. Maybe there's something going on in your life where you just don't know how it's going to work out. You're overwhelmed by the situation, don't know what to do, doesn't look good. It's an impossibility. You don't know how you're going to get through the situation. It's tough, it's rough. You don't know how God could repair it. You don't know how God can fix it. Maybe to you it doesn't even feel like God is in it. You're facing the impossible. I want you to consider that stone memorial in Gilgal, there on the east side of Jericho. Because there are still 12 stones there today that say God is still faithful. And despite how I feel, despite what I believe, despite my doubts, there is still this old and ancient memorial there today that tell me that God still performs miracles. There's still a monument there today that testifies of His goodness and that when nothing else works, somehow God can make it happen. And when there's no hope, somehow God can bring hope. And when nothing's working out, somehow God's going to show up. And when I don't understand, somehow God understands. And I was thinking about it this week. I wish I could take the whole church on a field trip. We would get on some airplanes. We would get on an airplane and we would travel across the country and we would go look at those 12 stones that still lay there really in the middle of nowhere near Jericho. It would increase our faith. But I can't do that. We can't do that, church. But what I can do, and what I did do, is I can find some stones of my own, and I can make everybody a memorial, so to speak. And so I did. And that's what you see down here below the podium today. I don't know if you're able to see it if you're watching online, but I brought some stones. And on each one of the stones, I got my wife to write. Because her handwriting's much better than mine, church. I got her to write God of miracles on every one of those stones. Because I believe we, the church, have got to remember the kind of God that we are serving. God of miracles. He's the God of miracles. That it would be a sign unto us that the God who was is the God who is. He's the same God, the God of miracles, the God of miracles. And so I ask the church this morning, as I begin to come to a close, what is it that you need from God? What is it that you've been dealing with? What is your difficult situation? What is your crisis? What is your mess? What is your impossibility? What is your need? What is your disease? What are the problems that you deal with? Because there's a stone up here today, just for me and just for you, that's going to tell you that this God, the God that we serve every single week, we come and worship Him. We come and hear stories about Him. Throughout the week, we pray to Him. We tell God we love you. This God we serve, He is still the God of miracles. God of miracles. Let's all stand, church. I believe that the works of the Lord and the miracles of God are so worthy of remembrance, and the heart of man is so prone to forget them. My mom, I call everyone my wife. One time there was someone showing up, the first time they were here, and I pointed to my wife, this is my husband. No, but I was going to say, sometimes we forget the things of God. And I was, my mom, we do Bible trivia every day. 6:15, we have Bible trivia. And sometimes we forget those simple stories, those miraculous stories, where the Lord intervenes. Sometimes we forget about it. And sometimes the heart is so prone to forget things like that, that I believe that various methods such as these stones are needed to refresh our memories. Church, this is the purpose of the stones, that we would remember God's power. The stones hold no power. It matters not if I have no faith. They're just for remembrance. God holds all the power. And He told them, go grab a stone, because that stone is going to remind you that I'm faithful. And it's going to remind you that I'm good. And when you're in need, it's going to remind you that I'm going to provide. And when you call upon me, that's going to remind you that I hear your cries. And I'm still a faithful God. And I'm still a loving God. And I'm still a saving God. When you call upon me, I will hear you. That's the purpose of the stone. It's simply a reminder. For generations. And when your children, the Bible says, and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren look upon that stone, you will tell them of the mighty hand of God, and they too shall know that our God is good, and our God is faithful, and our God is in control. So one more time, may I ask, what is it that you need from God? I believe everyone has some sort of impossibility in their life. No matter how well we try to hide it, and no matter how good we try to dress, I believe we all have an impossibility. This morning I grab one because I have an impossible circumstance. And you know what? Even 11-month-year-olds have impossibilities. my son needs one. Because he's dealing with an impossibility. My 11-month-year-old. And so I'm going to get a rock for him. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know what God's plan is, but I'm going to bring this because come tomorrow and come Tuesday and come Wednesday, I'm going to need to remember that despite what he's going through and despite what it looks like is happening, I still serve the God of miracles. I still serve the God who's good. I still serve the God who's faithful. I need a reminder in my life. And so today, if you have an impossibility, church, I know it's a different service, but if there's something in your life that you need God to fix, if there's something in your life that you need God, you need help with from God, then I want you to come up here by faith. Only if you have faith this morning, church, and come grab a stone. Be the first person this morning, church. Somebody grab a stone up here. And when you do, say, God, I'm going to believe no matter what that you're still the God of miracles. And I'm going to keep praising you through the storm. And I'm going to keep serving you. And I'm going to keep worshiping you.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. For more information about Pursuit, visit pursuitchurchar.com. Thank you for listening and see you next week.